are you, man?
Genius billionaire playboy philanthropist.
We are the knight.
Nerd!
Hold on to your butt.
And now for something completely different.
Hello, everyone. Welcome to the Knights of Nerd 2 podcast. We are a podcast for all things nerd. My name is Chris. I'm here with
Sam
and Sean.
And on Skype, we have.
Yeah, it's John.
So, John is finishing watching a particular movie that we'll talk about later. But
Way to wait till last minute, John.
Yeah.
Literal it last happens. Minute.
Hey, he watched Warcraft. Give him a break.
For a half hour.
Yes.
Warcraft.
I should get
more
exemption important. For a while for watching Warcraft.
So on this week's episode, what we're going to do is we're going to talk Warcraft. Yes, we're going to talk Warcraft. It's an old movie, but these guys finally saw it.
Yeah, finally.
Yeah, Resident Evil. Sean is a fan. I saw it, and he saw it, and we can talk about that. Yep. That was actually a 2017 movie.
Literally almost a year ago, because I think it was like January.
Yeah, and while we're staying on those Oscar-worthy movies,
oh, okay,
we'll talk Geostorm.
Oh, sweet.
And then little trailer, Ant-Man and Wasp came up. And this may or may not be a good barometer of how screwed Solo it really is.
Mm-hmm.
And finally, we will talk Shape of Water. It is probably up in the air for the front runner for the best picture for the upcoming Oscars. And we all saw it, finally. And we'll finally...
we'll see it.
We'll see it.
Working on it.
But we do have permission to spoil... You know, from John. So we'll save that to the end to see how far he gets. But first, and we're going to start this off how we usually do, Star Wars trivia.
Okay, so last week's question, this is a toughie or an easy one, depending. What is the name of the bar where Obi-Wan Kenobi and Luke Skywalker first meet Han Solo? Sam, what is your answer?
Rick's.
Sam's going Rick's.
Ugh.
Chris, what is your answer?
I don't know. Mos Eisley's Tavern.
Okay. John, do you know the answer?
I don't know, but I feel like Sam had the right answer.
So, you would have gotten the correct answer if you had said the Mos Eisley Cantina.
Oh!
How did you guys not get that? But
wait, hold on. What did I say?
You said Tavern.
Oh.
Yeah. Yeah. Wrong. God.
There's enough wenches in there for it to be a tavern.
It's close enough.
It's not a cantina. It's a tavern. I'm sorry. But the actual answer, so it's Chalmun's Cantina is the actual name of it, but it goes by the Mos Eisley Cantina.
And I said tavern?
You said tavern.
Damn.
Everybody goes to Chalmun's.
Yeah. But this week, stupid easy, if you don't get this, like, rewatch Star Wars because it's so obvious. What sea does Obi-Wan Kenobi live beyond on Tatooine? That is this week's question. So we'll get the answer next week for that one.
Now, are these in questions in film order? Because we've been sticking...
Yes, to the original.
Okay.
So,
because we're sticking with The New Hope for a long time.
Yeah, I believe it covers everything up to Force Awakens. I don't think it includes the new one.
Okay.
So, but either way...
So just the good movies?
In the prequels.
Yeah,
well, no, those are the good movies.
better than the new ones, yeah.
So every so many months, it's going to change to a new movie. I'll let you guys know when it changes to a new movie.
I have a feeling we'll know by the question.
Well, yeah.
So,
first question is going to be like something about Hoth, so.
No crap. All right.
So anyway,
Sean's going to post that on Facebook, which he already did.
Yep. It comes out every Wednesday. I usually time it for 7:30.
Yeah, and...
in the morning.
You can answer on Facebook or send us a direct message, and if you get it right, we'll actually read it off.
I'll give you a shout-out.
Yeah, so let's go with a movie that you just recently saw.
Yes, I recently bought.
And you're a huge fan of the franchise.
That's kind of like a strong word
for
to
those
use.
Listeners who don't know, Sean purchases on... DVD.
Oh yeah, no, this wasn't on Blu-ray. This was DVD.
And if that is not an indicator of a fan of a franchise, I don't know what else is.
It I never watched these in the theaters after the second one.
It doesn't matter. You own them on DVD.
Well, it got to the point where I was like, I own the first like four. I might as well keep buying them. Like, but not full price. God, no.
That's how they get you.
Yeah, I know.
So two movies ago, we all decided that it's time to end this franchise. And then they...
Oh, it's been a while since
they did another movie.
Yeah, they've needed to end this for a long time.
And then we said the same thing, and then they did another movie. And this one's actually titled The Final Chapter. So
four more?
No, TV show, actually.
Oh, yeah.
Is it TV?
Well, that's
not Mila Jovovich.
No, no. They announced that there will be a TV, but then I heard that they were rebooting the franchise.
No. You can't top the first two. It's almost impossible
to
top the first two.
Your opinion, first two are the best by far, right? Which one's better, first one or second one?
I really like the second one, but it would not be as good if it wasn't for the first.
I agree.
So, the first kicked it off, and then the second one, I think, kicked it up a notch, but the first one really does hold, like, that special place.
Mm. Well, the first one is very horror, because it's the zombie, you're trapped in the facility, zombies, there's a little action in there from time to time, but then the second one, it's, like, all action with hints of, you know, horror with the zombies and hints of comedy, even, with...
LJ.
Yeah. Yeah, it's hilarious.
Yeah. So, but this the final chapter, it's the seventh one? I want to say it's the seventh one.
I think it's
one.
The seventh installment.
So,
Jesus,
what did
Christ.
You think?
I know, right?
And after four, or after three, they all just get blurred.
Oh, yeah. That, I said exactly the same thing to Amy. She was like, what happened in the last one? I was like, I don't know. They all blend together.
Do
to
you know, remember what the name of the third one was?
Extinction. Yeah.
Yeah.
What was the fourth one?
No, I'm not going down that road. No. So the final chapter, give me your final thoughts.
My final thoughts on the final chapter.
Did you like the cannon fodder that they just randomly introduced? So at the middle of the movie, you stumble across this settlement, and you get introduced to a few characters, the badass chick, the guy who runs the place.
Badass chick, come on.
And then all of a sudden, they just die.
Claire was
in
two other issues. But Claire, the redhead... badass chick, she was in two other movies.
Yeah, no, I like Claire.
Yeah, she was in two of the
no,
ones
no, no.
that blend
That's
together.
Not the cannon fodder I'm talking about. Oh. The settlement, you know, when they show up and everything. And then you just
well,
have
she's
to,
in there. She's, I guess, like the leader of that settlement, which is odd. It was a literally look away and look back and you miss something.
Yep.
Because she's like, hey, look, it's Alice. Yeah. Come on. Like, I thought you had Alice at gunpoint. What happened? Like...
Yep. And then just
this movie,
bad guys still sucking in this movie.
Yeah, this movie
series
was like, hey, let's make an action movie. Okay, get the cameras ready. Hey, shouldn't we film like a script or something? Nah, don't worry about it. We'll film it on set.
Screw the script.
Don't worry about it. Action first, set script later. Like, oh, okay.
I can't remember the storyline.
So I
you don't have to rehash it. It's just
forgettable. Well, no, it's a very forgettable, but. Just a quick rehash. So Alice gets contacted by the Red Queen from the Hive to go back and save humanity. So she drives back to Raccoon City.
Yeah, and like the previous three movies, yes.
Yeah.
Okay.
But there's an airborne cure.
Yeah, that's right.
And that's what she's trying to get.
Oh, yeah.
And
then in the end, she discovers it's herself.
Yeah.
It was
figure.
Her all the time.
It really was. That's the weird thing.
Well, she created Alice first.
So they completely scrapped the plot of the second one, if you remember. The second one, the doctor created the T-virus to save his daughter.
Yeah.
And then they were like, no, that didn't happen. There was this other doctor who saved his different daughter. And then the second one, there was like, hey... this little girl, she's modeled after the Red Queen. And this one's like, no, it's a different girl modeled after the Red Queen.
Yeah,
don't
I know.
Worry about it.
They just completely ignored
like the best movie in the series, which I would understand if this movie jumped around from director and writers a lot, like most like long series do.
Isn't it the same?
It's the same damn guy. Paul W.S. Anderson did every single one of these movies. He's also Mila Jovovich's husband.
Yeah.
He wrote and directed every single one of these and screwed up his own timeline.
It's kind of like the Underworld series, where Kate Beckinsale was married to
in the second
the
one?
Director of the
with the first one or
no
or
sec- she initially married to the first guy, actor but then married the director of those films. And then she got divorced, so she's back on the
right.
market.
That's
yeah.
right, yeah.
Yeah, so no more of those movies.
Everything's coming up Milhouse.
I don't know why that was so funny.
this movie... Ruby Rose. This kind of bothered me. So when we're watching it, there was like a mole in the group. Like somebody was working for... the umbrella company, but who it was. And I was like, okay, there's a bunch of dudes. I have no idea who these guys are. Then was it Allie Larder, who was in two other movies, Claire. And then Ruby Rose. I was like,
I wonder
she's
who
the
it
only
is.
Known actor or actress in this group. I'm like, my money's on Ruby Rose. Through the fan.
Yeah.
Oh, I guess this is not Ruby Rose then. She died so quick.
I forgot it. I cannon fodder, dude.
Yeah.
I'm telling you. It was literally 30 minutes of the movie out of an hour and a half movie.
There was just so much. This movie did not hold back on action. If you like action movies that have no plot, this is like the best
movie.
This is it. This is what you need.
So I don't even want to stay on this. Let's move on from this. Can you give me a rating? It's 2017.
Oh,
but...
God.
Like a billion.
What did I give Justice League?
You gave...
Justice League is my worst movie, right?
Justice League a 5.4.
5.4. Was there one that was worse?
My Little Pony is a 5.5.
Yeah. Did I do
that's
one?
That's it. Nope.
I give this a 4.8.
4.8.
This is the worst movie I saw of 2017. God, this movie was awful.
And you know what? I rated it less.
What did you give it?
I gave this a 3.
Wow.
Yeah.
Fairness, Chris, you're just all over the board with yours.
And on that note, let's go to Geostorm. So as I was explaining to Sam earlier, I am a sucker for stupid, awful science or action movies. As everybody knows who's been paying attention for the past year.
Yeah, you went to go see Underworld and Resident Evil last year when they came out.
Voluntarily.
Yes.
And those are like the same movie.
And you know what the thing is? My wife wanted to see it with me too, so...
Strong marriage there.
Yep. Symmetry. But Geostorm. So we're sitting around the other night, and we're browsing through movies. It was a weekend, and we're like, all right, well, let's stay in, watch a movie. And then we just kept hovering over Geostorm, you know, searching for stuff. And we're like, we keep coming back to it. Let's just freaking do it, because you know we're going to see it. And so we clicked it, rented, and oh my God, is this movie utterly atrocious?
You don't say.
The plot was ridiculous. The acting was atrocious. The fight scenes were miserable. If I'm watching a Gerard Butler movie, I expect a good fight scene, at least one.
Mm.
Nope. Not even the car chase scene was interesting. No connection to the characters. I mean, this was just a genuinely bad movie. And way too much effects. And granted, and that's what you need with this type of movie, but way too much money was spent on this.
So would this have been better as a sci-fi original movie?
Yeah.
Okay.
Probably.
That's what it sounded like.
Oh, no, God, no. It definitely is. They blew up the Democratic National Convention. I mean, I think this was released in March or something.
Mm-hmm.
Obviously, people are not going to be excited about that after last November. So... and you're getting Ed Harris, and I forgot who played the president. You're getting these big name, truly genuine actors in this film, and it doesn't make sense at all.
To be fair, Ed Harris has been doing some weird career decisions lately.
Yeah, but his goods really outweigh the bads. I mean, oh yeah, he, really he's good. By he's far. Good.
Andy Garcia.
Yeah, you're getting all that, and it's just, oh god, sheer misery. It's just this. Thank God this was less than an hour and a half.
Oh well, thank
you. Yeah. Well, I think it was. Sure, so felt that way.
1 hour 49 minutes. Ugh. 15 minutes too long.
And I hate to say it, but it wasn't too long.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. I hate to say it. The one thing it had going, it was like it moved. The plot moved along. It moved. Oh yeah, no hang-ups, no nothing. It just went, and I mean like freaking out there went. But still, it progression. But anyway, shitty movie. It's definitely best picture worthy for the Razzies, and I gave this a 2.
Wow.
Yeah, so below Resident Evil, below Transformers 5.
Wow.
Put above the Emoji Movie.
All right. This actually reminds me. So Razzies were announced. I don't think Geostorm was up for anything.
It should be for every single category.
Yeah, I believe it.
Every single category.
I looked at that film when it, like, so it went through development hell. Because it took like 4 years to create.
Oh, yeah.
Like in post.
Yeah, they kept pushing money into it. And it just,
yeah, it was.
It wasn't working.
No.
It was not working at all. And I can see why. This movie was shit. So, why don't we move on to.
Speaking of CGI messes.
Go ahead.
We're going right into Warcraft. So,
this was 2016.
Yes, it was 2016, so this doesn't count towards last year. The only reason why I watched this is because, what was that, Saturday, when I was sitting down to watch Resident Evil, and John was like, watching Warcraft, and I was like, I'm going to have to watch this movie, aren't I?
And you know what the funny thing was? When he texted that, I wasn't paying attention, but then when I looked at my phone, I was actually watching Warcraft 2. On demand. I selectively chose to watch Warcraft.
Sam, did you ever end up watching that Emoji Movie? Or no? I know, it was a joke.
No, I was sick. So, you know, I pretty much got the experience. But no, I did not see it.
So, Warcraft.
So, you made it all the way through, right?
Oh, yeah. It's...
What was your favorite part? Just what was your favorite part?
Favorite part was the clay golem. I don't know.
In the end?
I don't know. It was just a bad movie. Okay. So this is probably the same yet complete opposite of Geostorm, where this movie was atrocious, had no idea what was going on, but was very enjoyable to watch. I enjoyed this movie.
Really?
Warcraft?
Yes. I really enjoyed it.
It's like stupid.
It's stupid action. Great. It's stupid great.
Yeah.
It's like.
Now, do you think the movie would be as bad if the first thing you didn't see was the orc's face? You remember how the movie opened?
Oh, yeah.
And they were doing the story, the overall story?
Yeah.
And the first thing you see is the orc's face.
Yeah.
Would it have been better?
If you did,
if they kind of eased into it,
I think, and see, I never played the games, so this is strictly from the outside, looking at the plot from the outside in. So orcs come from a different planet?
Nope, different realm.
Bitch.
No, they said planet.
They said world, but
sorry, okay,
it's a
world
realm.
If they said realm, I'd be like, oh yeah, that makes sense, but. When you say world, I'm like, StarCraft?
I think it just, it might have translated better as world instead of realm.
Maybe?
Not like translated.
Realm, too big word.
They're probably like, this plot is way too out there. We need to tone it down a little bit. Let's use world instead of realm.
Yeah.
No, because
they
when
call
they had.
It war realm or realm of Warcraft. Warcraft.
So do you remember the scene? I don't know if you do, but they showed a map of...
Yes.
So that's only half of it in World of Warcraft. That's okay. Half. There's okay. Actually more, but in the original...
So there's more than the Seven Kingdoms?
In a way. In a way. But there's two. There's
I believe
like
that's what Preacher said.
Yeah, that's right.
Preacher and what's her face? Yeah.
Oh, that's
Mrs.
right.
Preacher. Yeah, they're both in there.
They're
again.
Both
yeah,
in
Mrs.
there.
Yeah, Mrs. Preacher.
They're both in there.
Kind of wish the vampire was in there, too. That would have been entertaining.
I bet he was. We just don't know
it. We just
it.
Don't know it, yeah. Yeah, so plot was just stupid. The,
100% CGI fight scenes.
Oh, my God. So much CGI. I mean, it wasn't
like,
bad.
I don't understand why this movie had live-action elements. Like, like 95% is just CGI.
Mm. So was it Ben Foster? Yeah.
Ben Foster, yeah.
The actor.
Yeah, the mage.
Oh, my God.
Or the Guardian. Yeah. He's referred to as the Guardian, but he's really a mage. He's a frost mage.
Well, I should say, before I start, go down that rabbit hole, do you guys remember anybody's names?
Yes.
They
I remember
names?
Blackhand. That's about it, because Blackhand. Other than that, everybody's like, "Hey, Grubetata! Come here!" I'm like, I didn't get that the first time.
Goldan was the bad guy's name.
Goldhand?
Goldan.
Goldan?
Yeah, he was the bad guy's name.
Goldham?
Like nice cherry glaze.
The no. Frost Wolf Clan. Yeah.
Oh, yeah. There were dire wolves.
Quite frankly, I would not remember if I didn't watch the movie on Saturday.
Yeah, but okay, so you've named one person other than Blackhand. Do you remember the main character's name?
Johnny
no,
Good Guy.
No.
Yeah, exactly. Do you remember what the king's name was?
It's Ragnar from Vikings. That's all I know.
Yeah, it's
Johnny Good King.
So, I have them
Wait,
here.
Sean, I think I remembered the main character's name.
Okay.
I think it was, I don't know how well this is going to translate over Skype, but Mara Omir. You know?
Yeah, it is Anduin Lothar is the main
Lothar,
character.
Lothar, yeah.
And then the king's name is Lane Wurin. Yeah, it was that bad.
Why was he hanging out like in a bar?
Dominic Cooper?
Yeah.
That's the tavern from the start of World of Warcraft.
But why was the king there?
Like, doesn't he have better shit to do?
The king was in the bar?
Yeah.
I don't remember
when
this.
When you first are introduced to the king, he's drinking in the bar with all the knights. In that tavern.
Listen, it's
that was a tavern, not a cantina.
Wait, yes.
I need to rewatch this again. But
listen, it's a good tavern, all right?
Anyway.
Name me a better tavern than that's kingdom.
So
listen, Chris, I only watched, you know, a half hour of this movie, so the tavern scenes are a very integral part of the what Warcraft experience I had.
And it's weird because if you go into a tavern, it's basically an inn, and you get not double experience, but you get a nice little experience buff for when you reload the game and play again.
Oh, nice. Anyways.
Good to know.
Yeah. A lot of references.
Chalk that up to shit I don't care about.
A lot of references.
Does Sean get
World
an experience bump for watching the movie? Or what level are you,
Probably,
Sean, in life?
Because you're saying it's not that bad, and hopefully we get a second one.
This is on the same list as like Dragon Ball Z of being so bad it's entertaining. So just throwing that out there. That never got a sequel and got a huge bump from the Asian market.
Yeah, but not as big as Warcraft.
It was pretty big.
No. I mean, I'll pull up the numbers
on this
one.
Well, you have to go with inflation, and
it's like 4 years.
No, it's not. DBZ, that came out like...
That's like 10 years ago.
Is it?
Yeah.
Ooh.
For the fact that...
Can you put that CGI or take Warcraft CGI and put it into Dragon Ball?
Let's be honest, the CGI in Dragon Ball wasn't the thing that pulled it down.
I think it was mostly the movie that dragged the
what you
movie
saw
down.
On screen.
I know. Hopefully we get a second one.
Second Warcraft?
Yeah, I kind of want it.
They so left it open for a second one. So.
Yeah, that's true.
But yeah, I was kind of mad that the main orc guy died. The hell was up with that?
Move the story along.
But, so I have a question.
Would you rather have a movie where nobody?
Well, he died. He died, but the bad guy lives.
Yeah.
What the fuck's up with that?
I don't know. I just
everybody
sequel.
Like turned their back on the
Not
bad
sequel.
Guy.
Yeah, sequel.
Literally, everybody was like, "No, fuck the bad guy," and then he was like, "Oh, come on." They're like, "Oh, okay."
Oh boy.
Okay. Quick question.
Yeah.
Do they solve racism in this movie?
No.
Oh no.
Do they
come close though, because the main character and the half-breed They almost get it on.
Ooh.
Whoa, what?
Yeah.
They come very close. There's like touching of the face and like, I don't know what that guy was saying.
That is orc sex.
Maybe.
They just touch each other's
They
faces.
Talk about it.
It's like,
there's like an awkward scene where she's laying. She's like, that one wants to lay with me. And they're like, no, I don't.
It's like
no.
Shape of Water sex. Which we'll get into later.
Yeah, that's coming up. Yeah, so that like so much CGI in this movie. I like.
Yeah, but you can't do.
Yeah, you can. Look at Bright. Bright did orcs.
Yeah, but orcs are just size comparison. It's just.
Wait, was it just a half breed, dude?
No. We're not talking about the sex scene anymore.
There is no sex scene in it. It was PG-13. God.
Well, now I just don't want to see it.
Yeah. Lots of orc blood.
Well, I mean,
because it's green, so it's allowed.
Yeah, it's not real.
Okay, here's what I just bugged the hell out of me.
Yeah.
Was like every single scene, at least for what I saw in the beginning, was like 2 seconds long. It was like Ben Foster shows up, someone startles him, he fights them, he kicks their ass, and they just move on.
I wouldn't go that far, but
yeah, for the most part.
They had to keep it moving.
Well, okay. Apparently this movie, they cut like 40 minutes out of it.
And this is why, and this is where good editing comes into play. Because
sure.
The story didn't, let's face it, the story didn't really stall.
No, it didn't. It's not like, so the best that I can think of is like Suicide Squad, where Captain Boomerang is like, no, I'm leaving. And then the next scene, he's walking with them. Like, where'd that? And that happened because they cut out the scene where he's like, no, I'm back. So that's the only like modern use that I can come up with of like horrible editing for where the plot suffers. But yeah, no, like everything went, the plot went smoothly, but it was like a very bumpy, it was like chunky peanut butter. It was like,
which I love.
I love chunky peanut butter. And it's like, it's smooth in some parts, but in other things, there's boulders.
Yeah. Those hard peanuts where you just can't bite into it.
Oh, my tooth!
Break your tooth.
Like when they do that ritual thing in the circle, and they're like, it's that big bad guy who's got the magic thing flowing through him, and he's like, rah, dead. I was like, oh, that was the build-up for the mega fight of this movie. Wow, I'm so happy that lasted 5 seconds.
Oh, well.
I wanted more.
Yeah. Oh, well.
And that was the second time that the bad guy turned his back on the orc rituals, or sacred rituals, or
Makura.
Whatever. Makura. The Macarena.
Yeah, I remember that, but I don't remember the main actor's names.
But, like, it's the second time that he turned his back on the Macarena, and,
and you never turn your back on the Macarena.
No, never.
Yeah, you don't turn your back.
No, you always face it.
While doing the Macarena.
But, so, second time he turns his back, and the orcs are still by his side.
Like, no, you do turn your back on the Macarena.
Maybe to the DJ.
Yeah, you turn. Eventually,
eventually, it's a gradual turn in the Macarena.
Yeah.
Can we move on from Warcraft?
Yeah, let's talk about the Macarena.
All right, we're going to move on from Warcraft. Why don't we do the Ant-Man Wasp trailer?
Okay, really quick, the trailer.
Yeah, really quick trailer. Ant-Man Wasp trailer. Movie comes out in July.
Got it before Solo, which comes out in May.
Or even a Solo trailer, which comes out in May.
Both produced by Disney.
But this one comes out in May.
No, well, no, Solo comes
out in
May.
I know, it's just
no
trailer.
Yeah.
No trailer.
It's a mess.
Yes.
Maybe it's that good.
So
they can't spoil it.
It's like anything we show you is going to be a spoiler.
Yeah.
Well, that's why the Deadpool movie only has, you know, the trailer has 7 seconds of actual footage.
But it's a great trailer.
Yeah. So Ant-Man and the Wasp.
Yeah.
So Ant-Man was a kind of under-the-radar, low-level flyer of the Marvel Universe.
Mm-hmm. It's actually the only Marvel movie I have not seen.
Wow, you should. It's enjoyable.
It's not bad.
My favorite scene from Ant-Man is when they're fighting and the Thomas the Tank Engine is going around, and they're like, ah! And then the Yellow Jacket gets hit by the train, and it's just the zoomed out, and you see, it's so stupid, it's great.
So Ant-Man and the Wasp comes out, and the Wasp, we finally got to see her in action, yep. And I'm really liking her fight scenes so far.
Yes.
And the wings and everything, and it's not really, they're not the best characters in the universe, but still.
We see Giant Man again. They look pretty good.
Yep, Giant Ant-Man comes back again.
Well, Giant Man is his actual name, when he becomes huge.
Yeah.
Ant-Man yeah, that's right. When he's small, Giant Man when he's huge. Because that was a big thing for Civil War, is like,
he only did it one time?
He did it one time, but it was spoiled by the toys. Because those pop things came out, and there was an extra big one that's a Giant Man on it. So you knew it was going to happen.
Oh, darn.
Well,
totally ruined the movie.
As a fan of the comics and a fan, like, I enjoy collecting those Pops things. I mean, that kind of did kind of ruin that. Which, by the way,
he's
John...
He's not going to not collect Pops.
By the way, John, they're coming out with a Jurassic Park series of Pops.
Ooh.
Yeah, see?
Yeah, but what are the... Yeah.
What are they what?
What are they going to do with it?
Well, they're like little statue guys.
No, I know, but what...
Oh, there's like Jeff Goldblum. There's a Dilophosaurus.
So they actually had the dinosaur
T-Rex.
Pops.
Oh yeah, it's legit. Like I'm tempted to collect.
Do they have
them.
The Jell-O?
And what's his face? We get the who's the Spanish guy? He's like, so get this right, my mom said.
Oh, Louis. Yeah.
What's his name?
Like the
I
actor?
Forget his name.
Or?
Either or. He's coming back in this movie.
Yeah,
which is gonna be great.
Yeah. He was not funny in My Little Pony. Just throwing that out there.
But he.
Sorry. Yeah. Michael Pena.
He comes back, and the villain we get is Ghost.
I think
it's Ghost.
Not entirely sure. Could be Ghost.
I think it's Ghost.
We'll see in June. So
June or July?
I believe it's June.
July 6th.
July 6th. Wow. I could have swore it was a...
Oh, yeah, July 6th.
Independence Day.
Still after Solo. Still throwing that out there, though.
What, the trailer or the movie
itself? No, this
movie
is coming out after Solo.
I know. Dude, what do we think is going to be bigger? Let's place the bet now.
Oh, God.
Is this going to be bigger than Solo?
Yes.
No.
Nah.
I think the fact that we haven't heard anything out of Solo is going to hurt it.
I think yes, too. I think the fact that it's a July 4th weekend.
Yeah. It doesn't have such a high floor, though. Like, come on. I'm almost definitely going to see it. And, like, unless the reviews are, like, across the board, this is terrible.
You will
like,
die if you see this movie.
Yeah.
What?
Even then,
Solo?
Maybe.
Are you talking Solo or Ant-Man?
Solo.
All right. Are you planning on seeing Ant-Man as well, or?
Yeah, I liked Ant-Man.
Yeah, probably. I'll have to watch the first one.
Definitely, I think you'll like the first one.
You know how Edgar Wright originally wrote and directed, like, planned on,
yeah.
And then they ended up cutting ties with him over creative differences for the first one?
Yep.
You can totally tell that parts of it was an Edgar Wright film.
All right.
Like, they kept certain things that he wrote, so it's really enjoyable. Plus, Paul Rudd's funny. I mean,
yeah,
it's Paul Rudd.
And plus, who's Hank Pym?
Douglas.
Michael Douglas.
Yeah, he's pretty funny in the Ant-Man movie as well. Yeah,
Lawrence
it's the nice
Fishburne's
little...
in the second one. Like,
yeah,
there's people in this franchise.
They're pulling people for these movies now.
Like,
everybody's getting involved.
Yeah,
everybody's
looks like their CGI budget really got ramped up though, huh? For the second one over the first one?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, but it kind of looks on par with the first one.
Mm. No, I would say this one probably
has more. It's
probably
bigger sequences.
Yeah.
It looks like they're shrinking buildings now. I don't know if you saw that in the trailer.
I mean, yes and no, but they did blow up a Thomas the Tank Engine.
Yeah.
In the first one.
That was pretty awesome.
That first, like, the fight scene between Hornet.
Yellow Jacket.
And Yellow Jacket and Ant-Man in the house.
Mm.
It was No, it was awesome.
Yeah.
I mean, it was awesome. But Ant-Man and Wasp comes out July.
July 6th.
Definitely going to see it.
Oh, yeah.
Expanding the franchise again, or expanding the universe even more. Curious what Lawrence Fishburne is going to be doing in there.
He, oh God, what does he play? Bill Foster.
Morpheus.
Yeah. Bill Foster? Okay.
Yeah.
You take the big pill, you become giant man.
Wait, Bill Foster?
Yeah. Dr. Like, Bill Foster.
Like Jane Foster?
I don't know.
From Thor?
I'm going with no.
Okay. Okay.
Well, also he's, you know, different, you know.
Actor?
Natalie Portman's, you know, not.
Okay. We don't have to go there. So,
hey, Josh Trank did it. You know? Josh Trank did it.
So speaking of weird relationships and romances here, let's move on to Shape of Water.
Yay!
Yeah,
I get to talk about this movie.
Oh my God, finally.
So Sam really liked this movie.
So yeah.
It was his favorite movie of the year.
Same with me.
And you as well.
Yeah, it was the highest rated film for me as well. I think I gave it a 9.3.
9.5 for Sam, 9.3 for me. Sean.
But it was both of our best film of the last year.
Yes. So John and I finally saw it.
Yep.
And it was part of homework.
John, you've officially seen it?
I have. I know all.
Okay.
I've seen the whole thing.
So they have sex.
It was a really long Resident Evil conversation.
Was it?
Yeah, it kind of was.
Oh, wow.
Yeah.
Okay.
It kind of was.
I mean, we talked about Resident Evil for more than 2 minutes, but, like, you know, that's my scale.
So, Shape of Water. I can definitely see why this is one of the top movies of the year.
Yeah.
Hands down. Mm-hmm. I cannot picture... of all the movies this year I have seen, I cannot think of one where the director's vision truly came to the big screen in every way, shape, and form. From story, from directional cues, from CGI, if any, which there is, but, you know...
Yeah, but not overused.
Definitely not overused at all. But it was such a romance. It was so...
Yeah, like I said, this is a romance.
Pleasant. The movie was just genuinely pleasant to see.
Yeah.
It was a great movie. And I'm in the boat where I think this thing should be Best Picture. And I've seen not as many as you, but I've seen a good chunk of the Best Picture films. So... And that's my initial thought. John, did you have any...
What is John's initial thought?
Well, I mean, what can I say about a movie that asks the age-old question that I've had most of my life is, hey, could I have fucked Free Willy?
Free Willy's a mammal, just pointing that out.
What do you think the kid was doing when the whale jumped over him? He was touching the belly.
Thank God Free Willy was not happy to see him. That kid would have been taken out.
Did that kid take away Free Willy's agency? We'll never know. So, Shape of the Water.
Wow.
Shape of the Water is a very interesting movie where Guillermo del Toro makes some very interesting decisions. Actually, I think this is my first... GDT movie I've ever watched.
Really?
So definitely got to check out some more.
Because if you enjoyed this one, definitely watch Pan's Labyrinth if you can get past the Spanish.
It is weirder,
but same kind of open-ended ending.
Yeah.
As
it's kind of closed.
This is open-ended?
We'll get to the ending later.
Pan's Labyrinth kind of has a very closed ending. Almost too close, if you ask me.
Moving on. We'll get to the ending later. Anyways, John, go on with your first impressions.
I would love to see more movies like this that are just like, just a little far out there, but not like too crazy, like David Lynch, Twin Peaks style, just like, what the fuck is this? Like, Like, just like it just looks different from most other movies you see this year. Let alone if you're, you know, big into the, as Chris says, Oscar baity movies. You know, even from that, this movie has sort of a distinct vision. And I love that. And I think it was a great story. I'm feeling it, I think, as strongly as maybe Sean and Sam as, like, the best movie overall. But I think it's good. It's very funny this is nominated for an Oscar. It doesn't exactly seem to check a lot of the normal Oscar boxes. But, yeah, I enjoyed it.
Now, do we think that it's because it's a love story, it's Oscar,
yeah,
it fits in the Oscar criteria?
I yes.
If it was a simple action thriller,
if it was a thriller, not so much.
So if they focused more on the Russian plot,
oh yeah.
If it was more of that in the sci-fi stuff,
I'll give you this. If they did move more towards the action-y stuff, I don't think it would be as good of a movie.
God, no.
No, I'm agreeing with you. After I see it, after I saw it, I'm agreeing with you.
Yeah, because, like, the weakest part of the plot, I thought, was the Russian whole subplot.
Really? Mm.
It felt kind of awkward in there.
Yeah.
I was like, why am I watching this? Why is this going on?
They needed to have something in there, though.
Yeah, yeah. Like, it didn't ruin it. It was interesting, but it was, if I had to nitpick, that would be the place I'd go.
You know what, though? I bet you it was in there just to lift up the villain.
Yeah.
Villain, for lack of a better term. You know, Michael Shannon.
Yeah.
I bet you the Russian subplot was in there just to, you know, elevate him further as this is your bad guy.
Yeah.
Because it really did help him, you know, become more evil.
I thought my only real critique with this movie, and I do kind of agree with Sam with the Russian subplot, is movie feels a little overstuffed at times. Like, a lot of themes going on. Like, the whole Russian thing is kind of, I don't know. I mean, what's the whole purpose, I guess? Like, I liked Michael Stuhlbarg. I don't know. I liked his character and everything. The scientist that, you know, is also a double agent and is, you know, ends up helping her, Eliza, get the fish out. But, like, I don't know. I mean, the only thing he really contributed was, like, showing them, like, oh, you know, keep your salinity at 5% and, you know, put some fertilizer in every once in a while, you know?
I mean, I can see it. I can see why you would think that, but you needed to fill something in there because you had the story, you had the overall love story, and then it wouldn't have been as effective if it was just she falls in love and then tries to break him out. Mm-hmm. It kind of felt like you needed something else there.
Yeah. I'll say this for the other thing I thought was a little overstuffed, or just like, well, why is this here? Or I don't know. It's when Richard Jenkins is talking to that guy, the pie guy, mm-hmm. and he's like, "Oh, I'm not gay," and then he just like yells at these like two black people that come in. It's like, okay, and he's racist. Like,
yeah,
yeah.
This is kind of like a little like shoehorned in, considering we never really talk about it otherwise. So.
Yeah, very shoehorned in there. Completely unnecessary. Him getting turned down is one thing, but
oh yeah, that was great. I mean, that was a good plot, or you know, gave like you understood like, you know, Richard, you know, his character a little bit better. Yeah.
Right.
Definitely speaks to the art direction, I guess. That the grossest thing was not a lady having sex with a fish, but was actually the pie.
Yeah.
The pie store.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, and he keeps them all in the fridge.
Yeah.
Yes.
I mean, how many movies do you watch that have pie in it, and you come out not feeling like, oh, man, I should go. I'd love to have some pie right now.
Not this movie.
Well, I'm going with the art direction. This movie, it was so, I looked at it, it's such dull colors because everything's like cement gray and stuff, but it's such a beautiful looking movie at the same time. It's so weird that it's beautiful looking, but the worst possible color scheme you can choose. It's like weird how they like, because everything is very,
it's very harsh colors.
Yeah. Everything's dull and dreary, but it's a beautiful looking film.
I never thought a bathroom still, could look that good.
Right.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Or, yeah, like you said, it's dull colors, but it still seemed vibrant.
Exactly.
Yeah, especially I really like the scenes when it's the fish is in the apartment, but it's raining.
Yeah.
And you can see all the streaks and everything and just the color aspect of both, especially the side-by-side shot of both apartments. So
how...
Guys, you know the fish has a name, right?
Amphibian Man.
No, Gil.
Oh.
All right. I thought it was Blub, but... So how did you guys feel about the that kind of like fantasy scene where she's dancing?
Okay. Okay. I was going to say this too, but I didn't want to until later.
That comes out of left field and just lands in this movie.
So when I first saw it, I immediately thought, oh God, this is fucking stupid. And then I just sat there and smiled with joy watching it.
Watching it like I'm watching a fish man dance with a woman.
Yeah.
Yeah. In like the 1920s ball.
Yeah.
Like
black and white. And it was
like, I actually enjoyed it.
It was, at first you get over the initial reaction. It's like, what the fuck is going on?
This is just so weird. Why are we doing
this?
This
is so awesome.
You know, if they
just like, you know, I haven't seen this before. Sure. Yeah, let's see what happens here.
I definitely helped that early on in the film with Richard Jenkins' character, how his obsession over those movies.
Oh, yeah.
That's why it came out of left field. It's like she watches them with him. She idolizes these things. You even see her dancing at times to it. Yeah. Like there's her and him on the couch doing the dancing with their feet. And then the first time you meet her when she's off to work, she's walking down the hallway and she does a little tap dance and then just smiles and keeps walking. So like right there, it shows like in her character, she loves and idolizes these films. So it only makes sense that she would fantasize about doing that with this creature that she just fell in love with.
Yeah.
So.
Definitely.
Now, it'd be weird if they did it in real life. The fact that it was a fantasy is perfectly fine.
Yeah. Yeah, I really like that scene, though.
Mm.
It was just so far out there that it was awesome.
Mm.
It's kind of like the whole movie where it's like... It's this movie has like this weird thing where it's really out there, yet it feels familiar.
Mm.
Like I don't feel like I'm, you know, on another planet when I'm watching this movie. But at the same time, I've never seen a movie like this.
Yeah,
and I think it was.
Go ahead.
It was interesting to me, and you know, part of what they say is good filmmaking is like when you as the audience don't get ahead of the movie, like you're able to piece it out. And, you know, truthfully, sort of knew, especially the second she goes down to like the canal for the first time to see when the tides will be right or whatever, you're like, oh, okay, this is Free Willy. like not even really being, you know, facetious about it. Like, oh yeah, this is like almost the same exact plot, you know, minus, you know, groping. But even then, like the kidnapping scene or release, whatever you want to call it, that happens halfway through, which other movies, I feel like that would just be the third act.
Yeah. You know? I was thrown off when that was occurring. I was like, wow, this movie's flying by. And I looked at the clock. I was like, we're only halfway through this movie.
I'm glad it happened when it did, though, because it was going not slow, but it was kind of just cruising.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah. It takes a little while, because especially, like, you know going in what the movie is, or, like, even as soon as you start seeing stuff, you're like, oh, okay. Yeah, like we were saying, like, it's all familiar, so, like, in that case, like, we are a little bit ahead of the movie at that point, because, like, we know what's going to happen. I mean, one, you know, very early scene with her in the bathtub, you know, with an egg timer, accepted from that, but other than that, I mean... The first, so, if like I had not seen scene. This movie, I could probably get the first act down like 90%, you know?
Mm.
Yeah. And I, And I really liked how you had the double hit of comedy with Octavia Spencer and Richard Jenkins.
Yeah.
Just the double hit of those two.
Both of which, amazing. Both are up for Oscars for their roles. Both, I think, did a phenomenal job.
Now, do we think Sally Hawkins should get...
I'm surprised she didn't get the nod, right? She did not get a nod. I'm very surprised she didn't.
I'm okay. But we needed
Meryl Streep to get another nod, right, though.
I'm okay with Sally Hawkins not getting it.
Would you replace Meryl Streep with Sally Hawkins, though?
After seeing...
You've seen both.
I've seen both, and I would still take... Even though I don't like Meryl Streep, I'd still take her performance over Sally Hawkins. But then again, I bet you if I saw the other movies, because there's a couple out there. I didn't see Lady Bird, and I bet you I would take Sally Hawkins over at least one of them. Is the lady from Three Billboards?
Yeah.
Oh, definitely take her out. Yeah.
Really?
Okay. Yeah, I wouldn't put her in there. I'd put Sally Hawkins over her.
Margot Robbie is up for an Oscar, by the way.
I didn't see that either, so I can't.
Really want
to. I don't want to judge.
It's like I, Tonya, who cares? That was like 20 years ago. 15. No, it was 20.
Yeah, it was depends. Like 20, everybody made
movies
their
about the past suck. We all know that.
Stupid.
Here's the thing. Everybody's made up their opinion about whether or not she's guilty in real life.
Oh, I don't care.
And, so, yes. And
if their if their viewing experience is otherwise or, you know, rubs them the wrong way, then they'll hate the movie or very much like the movie.
Yeah.
Your mind's already made up.
Yeah,
pretty
much. It's up in the air. Like, did OJ kill her? Who knows?
So,
the glove didn't fit, Sam. So they had to acquit.
Oh yeah.
Jesus Christ.
So do we think it's gonna get Best Picture? Sam, you saw the most.
Yeah, Sam, you've seen most of them. Well, without giving your pick away, do you think it has a good chance?
It has a good chance.
Okay.
It's getting a lot of lobbying.
It really is, and I'm happy that it is because, I mean, the movie's just so different.
It's the movie I want to win.
Okay.
So, because I enjoyed it the most, and also because it's just the most unique of all those movies, where it's like, I just haven't seen this before. I really want to encourage filmmakers to make more unique movies.
Yeah. John, what do you think? Because you saw a few of these Best Picture films as well.
Yeah, I mean, I haven't seen Lady Bird or Three Billboards, which seem like probably the most in the mix right now, as including Shape of Water. You know, it wouldn't be my personal pick if you left it to me. I think I'd go with Phantom Thread, a movie with only slightly less weird relationships. not by that much of a margin, though. But I wouldn't be, like, upset if this won. Like, it's so... Like, I like... You know, part of Best Picture for me is, one, like, recognizing, like, a great, like, all-time great movie. But two is, like, you know, even if something, like, doesn't, you know, click 100% on all cylinders, like... I'd rather see more movies like this. So, you know, if that's like the positive message it's sending of like, you know, hey, make something that's a little bit out there that's good and like just a joy to watch. Yeah, sure, give it the Oscar.
Okay.
So, other than the ending, are we done talking about this? Because I really want to talk about the ending.
All right, let's go to the ending.
Okay. Can I have a very hot take on the ending?
Sure, just go ahead.
Before we even jump off here?
Go ahead.
Literally.
I feel...
Sorry.
I don't feel like it's that crazy of an ending or anything like that. Like, I feel like I've seen that ending, like, 5 times now in the last, like, I don't know, 10 years. Like, are they dead? I don't know, but they're probably happy either way, you know? Like, what's actually the better answer for her? Who's to say?
Right. See, I think she's dead.
So you're going. That was going to be my question. So,
with the
ending, is she alive or dead? Because it could totally be Richard Jenkins's character creating that scene in his head. Like,
yeah, they set it up that way.
Yeah,
yeah.
So it
like
totally
he does as a painter does.
Yeah,
I think because of that reason, because it was his voice doing the overall story.
Yeah,
I think she's dead, and fish guy took her to his home or wherever.
To the Amazon. You know,
whatever it is.
I actually think she's alive.
You think she's alive? Okay.
Simply because of that line at the end before, what's his, Michael Shannon, his character gets killed. The line at the end, holy shit, you are a god.
Yeah.
Where I'm like, yeah, you know what? He just, like, survived, like, several bullet shots to the head, to the...
He survived the bullet shots. He healed the wound on Richard Jenkins' arm and gave him his hair back.
Yeah.
So.
Oh.
What?
I didn't catch the hair thing.
Yeah, because he comes in. He's like, it's mine. It's mine. It's real. It's real. And he's like tugging on his hair.
Yeah, and he's like telling him to pat him on the head some more for the whole rest of the movie.
So, yeah. So, I mean, the amphibian man, I mean.
And I liked how her scars that took her voice turned into the gills. The
gills, yeah.
Yeah, but that could have been... It was nice, but it could have been the story that Richard Jenkins was saying.
Yeah,
like, and that's, creating that's the happy ending for her, sort of like atonement, you know?
So that's where I pull it up with it being kind of similar, kind of ending with Pan's Labyrinth. Yeah. Sam, you've seen it. John, I don't. It doesn't really spoil much.
I'm gonna count to 30.
Okay, go.
Just go for it.
Okay, so at the end of Pan's Labyrinth, she gets shot. The young girl gets shot and killed, but she's also in the kingdom with her true mother and father. So it's one of those. Is
spoiler
it?
Spoiler alert!
You could have counted it to 30.
No.
So is it one of those? Did she because she died? Now she has ascended to that kingdom, or is she just dead?
I think the movie's pretty clear. That's just like a death dream.
I don't know. It's not.
It's
clear, open-ended. Though.
Do we know if what Guillermo del Toro was implying at the end?
No.
Did anybody ask him?
No.
No.
It's just, he said. Yeah, he said that the top keeps spinning.
Oh God.
I want him to win. I'm agreeing with you, John, that it's just, was it you, Sam, who said it's just out there, it's brand new, different topics, different style.
I think, personally, I think we're all in agreement that kind of want this one to win.
I mean, I want this one to win of all the ones that I've seen.
I'm looking, like, the major ones, I would be very happy with them winning. I thought Octavia Spencer did an amazing job. I thought Richard Jenkins did an amazing job. I thought Guillermo del Toro definitely displayed his vision for this film as a director onto the screen. Like, you can see it. It's not perfect, but it's damn close. And as an overall film, I thought it was so intriguing. It was different. I would be happy if it took every single award that it was nominated for, which is odd because I don't like Oscars.
Yeah, I thought another one too, Michael Shannon, I thought was just great in this movie.
Mm. Oh, yeah.
Almost as good as his portrayal of Doomsday in Batman versus Superman.
So a dead body?
Yeah.
Oh, okay.
So what was I going to say? It's And going even further than that, we like this movie so much. Think about best original screenplay. Mm. Is it original?
Yes.
Original screenplay. I think Get Out.
I don't know. There's that Dutch film.
So I think the only other contender, in my opinion, for the original screenplay is Get Out.
Yeah.
It's hard to choose between the two.
Yeah, because...
For me personally.
But, well, I agree because both films are so different. Like, they're both films we've seen before, but completely new.
Yes.
And so because we've all seen the, you know, body snatcher kind of thriller horror that Get Out was. We've all seen that sci-fi thing about a creature being locked up and have to be released kind of thing. We've seen those movies. But the twist that both directors took on these movies, on that plot, both movies were great. And both are up for original screenplay. Both are up for best movie.
So I think that with the screenplay alone, when you look at the screenplay alone, it would go to Shape of Water.
Mm-hmm.
But only because with the Get Out screenplay, the delivery of the actual story and the way it was filmed makes it that much better.
Mm.
Sally Hawkins, by the way, was nominated.
Was she?
Oh, is she nominated for actress?
Yes. Yep.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Right, she's there. Yep, right there. Okay, good. Thank God. So.
Yeah, I mean, yeah, I coming into this, I probably would have said was kind of wanted Christopher Nolan to win Best Director for Dunkirk, but totally fine with Del Toro with its Shape of the Water. And actually, they're two totally different like sides of the spectrum. So it's kind of tough to say which is more of an accomplishment. But
well, here's the very interesting thing though, with Get Out and Shape of Water. Both directors also wrote those films. So their film, their script, is also nominated for Best Picture, which they are nominated for their direction.
Yeah, so, as is Lady Bird.
Oh, yeah. Well, did she write it? Oh, so, boom, we got a trifecta of a trifecta.
Actually, I think everyone direct, because I believe, every single director wrote their movie. So that's crazy. Five for five.
Well.
I don't think The Big Sick. Did he write?
Yeah.
No, he didn't direct.
No. It's the other way around. Every director also wrote the movie.
Right.
So five filmmakers in the classic sense.
But, and not to shit on Christopher Nolan, Dunkirk is based on true events. It's not an original screenplay.
Okay, yeah.
Just throwing that out there.
Okay. So do we?
I don't think one is necessarily easier than the other. Truthfully,
no. I know, but you have a source material that you can base off. It doesn't matter. I'm just saying that the others are original, whereas his is an adapted. It's a different category, literally.
John? We got to give this a rating.
Yes, you do.
I'm gonna give this. I mean, as someone who stopped watching it a half hour ago. I'm going to give this, I'll go 8.4.
Okay.
All right, I'm giving this a 9.2.
Wow.
Second favorite. I still like Logan better, but...
Now, my last question I have to ask about this movie. Now, would this have been acceptable to start off the Dark Universe as the creature from the Black Lagoon?
Oh, God. Just to imagine that.
Before the Mummy movie or
before
after?
The Mummy movie, if this was the first movie to start off the Dark Universe as the creature of from the Black Lagoon, which it totally could have been,
no,
would you be okay with that?
No,
I feel like it would ruin the movie a bit. Where I'm like, all right,
yeah, if you know there's a universe coming,
Like this being standalone kind of really makes the movie.
I don't mean like.
Well,
if they didn't do what they did with the Dark Universe, where they were like, we're going to make an intro and everything, and this will be the first movie for it, and we're going to make... If, like, they did this as the remake, quote, remake of The Creature from the Black Lagoon, and then we're like, holy shit, that was a good movie, let's create the Dark Universe after this.
No. So, what made this movie great was its standalone... aspect.
So, like, the whole point of the Dark Universe is we're going to have interesting dramas set in sci-fi universes.
Yeah. Richard Jenkins is the guy who carries over Tom. He's the, Nick Fury of the universe?
Oh, God.
So, you're telling me, though, like, if I just guaranteed you that Guillermo del Toro would do, like, a six-film Dark Universe series that, like... That wouldn't be 100 times better of whatever the actual one is going to be.
It'd be better.
Yeah,
I'm not questioning that.
I think if this turned out to be, because it fits too perfectly, where this creature was found in the Amazon, and they basically dragged it back to the States.
Yeah,
and it's something unique. I think, and it kind of fits what the Dark Universe wanted out of a revamped. Classic horror movie monsters. I think if this turned out to be the stepping stone to start the Dark Universe, or the Uku, as we refer to it here on Knights of Nerditude. I would be so excited for that. If this was the stepping stone.
See, I would say...
See,
not if the Mummy didn't come out, and obviously Uku was erased from our memory and everything. Yes. If this movie came out, and it did, and in 3 months... who was it?
Universal.
Universal went to Del Toro and said, we want to create this universe. You have the Mummy, you have Frankenstein, you have all those. You can do whatever you want. Here's all the money in the world. Do it. If you did that 3 months from now, I'd be happy, because because he'll make some twisted movies
and
with those characters.
If he was like the Uku Zack Snyder. Like how Zack Snyder basically, he did Man of Steel, he did Batman v. Well, where he's attached to
the director.
He was
like the Kevin Feige, yes. No, Zack Snyder, but no.
Feige doesn't direct or write.
No, but he...
He kind of controls everything, but he doesn't do that, whereas Zack Snyder did. I'm not saying...
I think this is just a bad example because we have a bad taste of Zack Snyder in our mouth.
I understand that, but he would be the Uku Zack Snyder, where he's in charge of... their movies, writing and directing these movies.
If you say you have...
And we're not putting out 5 a year.
Yeah, if you have all the money in the world, we just expect 1 every 5 years, you can do whatever you want, I'd be happy with it. Because can you imagine just take this, not story, but take this style and make a Mummy movie out of it?
I would be more interested in an actual, like, a good Frankenstein.
You got me thinking where, like... crossing these old monster movies with like Oscar bait movies where it's like, you know, Frankenstein and Bride of Frankenstein are getting a divorce and it's all about that.
Frankenstein versus Frankenstein.
Yeah. Or you have like Dracula dealing with MS or something.
Just like I heart Frankenstein.
Yeah, it's like the Mummy coming out of the closet.
Yeah, yeah.
Literally.
Both figuratively and literally. I think I would have
you could be like the Pharaoh is in love with men and he gets mummified because back in the day you had to get punished.
Yeah, there you go. And now he's in 21st century Britain.
And you're saying you guys don't want this universe now?
Maybe we should just come up with some general Oscar bait worthy storylines and put them into Universal monster movie.
So let's take all of these Oscar movies and turn them into...
So Dr. Jekyll and Mr. Hyde, a doctor trying to cure his wife, and then can't test it on anything and tests it on himself.
No, and Chris, becomes Hyde. He has the cancer.
And he tries to cure himself?
Yeah.
No, you gotta make a little bit of a love kind of thing.
Well, yeah, then him...
Because then it's just a selfish piece.
Well, no, he's in a serious relationship.
But by injecting himself with the cure, quote, cure for this cancer, it's tearing that relationship apart.
The cure to madness.
See, we're getting there.
Yeah, no, right?
Or just a guy struggling with schizophrenia.
Yeah. It turns out it was him the whole time. It wasn't two people.
Yeah.
Oh, man. I'm just saying... I think we could have did better than the Dark Universe with our Uku.
Yeah, right. Yeah.
Yeah.
All right.
Something to think about.
So,
come up with so many good ideas on this podcast.
Right? So why don't we wrap things up? I think we're long.
I got one last thing. Last segment.
Okay.
Chris's Complaint Corner.
Okay.
Which, you know, I'm sure, Chris, you heard today. Very big Harry Potter news that I think you're probably, I mean, you should be, you know,
I didn't hear
you should any... as a society, I think you should be upset with that Dumbledore in the upcoming movies is not going to be explicitly a gay character. How upset are you about that, Chris?
Wait, I didn't hear about this in the news today. But, dude, who cares? Nobody knew he was gay in the movies or the books anyway. She just said it.
And this is Chris's Complaints Corner. Have a good night.
right. It doesn't matter. It does not matter. Because it's just simply Dumbledore. You're not going to show him having a relationship. He's a teacher.
Unless one of the movies is Dumbledore and like Spring Break down Cancun.
No. It's like, if anything, I'm more upset because it's a young Dumbledore.
Well,
it's what's his face? The Pope. Young Pope.
Jude Law.
Jude Law is Dumbledore.
Okay.
Are we wrong to assume that the fish in The Shape of Water was a guy?
Well, he had a penis.
Yeah.
Something came out.
Do you know fish that well? I don't know.
Don't assume, Sean.
Yeah. I don't know.
I'm going to say yes.
Yeah, I'm going yes.
They refer to him as a him.
And even if that was his sex, who knows what his gender is?
Mm. True. It,
what does he choose to
maybe,
be?
Maybe he's like a seahorse.
If they even opt
like
into
he
that.
He would get
you know?
Pregnant.
It pleased her. I don't think it really matters.
Yeah. You're right. Whether she's dead, alive, with a male shark, or a female fish...
Why I'm just male glad have she's to be happy. A shark?
Yeah, why can't a woman be a shark?
Why couldn't the guy be a barracuda? Just saying.
All the sharks are guys, though, in movies, right?
Till now, we're changing that.
Yeah,
time's up.
We don't know what Deep Blue Sea 2 has to offer. So.
We do. Did you see the trailer?
Whether or not they're guys or girls.
Did you see the trailer?
I shared the trailer. Yes.
It's gonna be so bad.
It's gonna be so awesome. It's going to be so good.
Oh, man.
All right.
And on that note.
On that note, why don't we wrap up? So if you like all of our episodes, please send us a message on Facebook. We will shout out to you and we'll talk about anything that you want to bring up. And if you like all of our episodes, you can find previous ones on Podbean, iTunes, and Stitcher for free. As well as... I think that was it. If you want to also get in touch with us, you can send us an email. I'm plugging the email again. KnightsOfNerdsDude@gmail.com. Next week, Sam is going to give us a challenge because we're going to go see some stupid rabbit movie.
Yep, Peter Rabbit.
Oh, God.
And then we'll answer Star Wars trivia.
Yep.
So that does it for us for this week. Until next time.
Bye.
Adios.